यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय नीताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
हरे कृष्ण सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 27 Chapter entitled The Process of Deity Worship, Text 36 and 37. So please respond. Vidhina Vihite Kunde Mekhala Garta Vedibhi Agnim Adhaya परितः समूहेत पाणिनोदितम् विधिना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्त वेदिभिः अग्निम् आधाय परितः समूहेत पाणिनोदितम् विधिना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्त वेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहेत पाणिनोदितम् विधिना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्त वेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहेत पाणिनोदितम् विना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्त वेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहे पाणिनोदितम् विचिना विहिते कुंडे मेखला गर्तवेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहे पाणिनोदितम् विचिना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्तवेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहे पाणिनोदितम् विधिना विहिते कुंडे मेखलागर्तवेदिभिः अग्निमाधाय परितः समूहे पाणिनोदितम्
विधिना according to scriptural injunctions vihite constructed kunde in the sacrificial arena mekhala with the paraphernalia of the sacred belt garta the sacrificial pit vedi bihi and the altar mound agnim the fire adhaya establishing paritah on all sides samuhet one should build up panina with his hands uditam blazing translation by the disciples of his divine grace Abhay Charanarinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada In an arena constructed according to scriptural injunctions, the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice, utilizing the sacred belt, the sacrificial pit, and the altar mound. When igniting the sacrificial fire, the devotee should bring it to a blaze with wood piled up by his own hands. There is no purport to this verse, so we will go on to the next verse, text 37. परिस्तीर्याथ पर्युक्षेद अन्वाधाय यथा विधि प्रोक्षण्यासाद्य द्रव्याणि प्रोक्षाग्नौ भाव्येत माम ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द डिसिपल्स ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद आफ्टर स्प्रेडिंग कुश ग्रास ऑन द ग्राउंड एंड स्प्रिंकलिंग इट विथ वाटर वन शुड परफॉर्म द अन्वाधान रिचुअल अकॉर्डिंग टू द प्रिस्क्राइब्ड रूल्स देन One should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and should sanctify them with water from the sprinkling vessel. The worshipper should then meditate upon me within the fire. Purport Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that one should meditate upon the Lord as the super soul within the sacrificial fire. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते
Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So I would like to begin this class by offering my prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. Also, my prostrated obeisances to His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, who always encouraged me at every step of my endeavors to know more about Yajna, Prana Pratishtha and all these procedures. And also my prostrated obeisances to His Grace Sevatala Prabhu, whose guidance has greatly enhanced and enriched my knowledge about the science of deity worship in general and yajna and deity installation in particular. Finally, I would like to offer my obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas here physically present and also those online watching, so that I may speak something relevant for my own purification. When it was decided that I will be speaking on this class, on this particular verse, some devotees came up to me and said, "Oh wow, you are going to really reveal some esoteric secrets about yajna and all these things." I don't know about esoteric. I'll just share whatever I know, whatever I have gathered in my journey. But I just hope and pray that it's not too technical. I'll try to make it more relevant to the audience. So during the course of this chapter, chapter 27, when Lord Krishna is explaining the process of deity worship to Uddhava, there were many verses. While I was hearing the classes, many things struck to my mind and I noted them down. So I'll just start with that. So in the ninth verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna says, "A twice born person should worship me, his worshipable Lord, without duplicity, offering appropriate paraphernalia in loving devotion to my deity form or to a form of me appearing upon the ground, in fire, in the sun, in water, or within the worshipper's own heart." So this reminded me that when we do yajna, we actually, after, I'll come to that later, but we actually in the yajna, we actually meditate upon the form of the Lord as the fire. The Lord who is within the super soul of the person performing the yajna or the acharya, he invokes that personality from within his heart and he meditates and he asks that personality to be present within the fire to receive the offerings. So when I read here that the person has to offer to a form of the Lord in fire, so I was really amazed. Oh yes, many things click. Actually, in the course of this chapter, many things which I learned in as part of yajna procedure, many things were very nicely, you know, they are not separate. When they say Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatra, they are separate, to so to say,
But Bhagavat strongly supports the Pancharatra. You get lot of supporting statements for whatever performances, for whatever procedures we follow in Pancharatra. Then in 13th verse, Lord Krishna says, the deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities, can be established in two ways, temporarily or permanently. So again, when we do the yajna, this form of the Lord, which we ask to be present in the fire, is a temporary manifestation of the form of the Lord. And at the end of the yajna, that particular personality is again asked to, you know, they are like in Sanskrit they say visarjan is done. So after in 19th verse he says this brought out a very technical point. After cleansing himself and collecting all the paraphernalia, the worshipper should arrange his own seat with blades of kusha grass whose tips point eastward. He should then sit facing either east or north. Or else, if the deity is fixed in one place, he should sit directly facing the deity. So I was reminded of this principle. We had discussed this principle in the course of our preparation for yajnas. We had discussed this principle. There is usually the person who is performing the yajna, the hota, he has to sit facing the east. But in certain situations, it is not possible. In certain situations, it is difficult to do that. So in that situation, we face the north. But what happens is, there is concept of either dik prachi, prachi disha is in Sanskrit, east is called prachi disha. So there is dik prachi or deva prachi. So it will be best if you can face east, the direction east. If that is not possible, then like it is said here, if the deity is fixed in plus one place, he should sit facing the deity. And then wherever the deity is, that becomes east. And everything else, whatever he has to perform, all the directions will change according to that. That is deva prachi. So I had studied this, but when I was hearing this different, I had studied this as part of my training in yajnas, but when I had heard this term, dik prachi, deva prachi and all, but reading it in Bhagavatam, you know, gives a strong understanding of how, even though it is Pancharatra, it is Agama, but it is strongly supported by Bhagavat. Especially Lord Krishna himself is speaking these verses. Like I remember this principle of direction, especially when we do installations in temples which are already functioning temples. Like case in point is like in Govardhan Eco Village. It was already Radha Vrindavan Vihari were already installed. Prabhupada was also there. And then we had to install Mahaprabhu. So at that time, Radha Vrindavan Vihari are facing east. Okay? We cannot face east because we will be showing back to the deity. But we cannot face the deity because we will be showing back to Prabhupada because he is the Acharya. We are doing everything on behalf of him. So, what we did? We sat facing north. On our right to the east, Prabhupada. On our left to the west, Vrindavan Vihari, and facing north. Even those of you who remember those times, another incident which comes to my mind is when our initiation by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj would happen in the temple and the yajna would happen in the temple hall. I always remember Maharaj would always be the times that I have seen. Here we have Radha Gopinath, there we have Prabhupada, but Maharaj would sit facing Gopalji Hall, facing east. He will be sitting facing east. So these points all come together when I look at it from the perspective of whatever small amount of understanding I have got in the process of duty worship. It is so subtle, we don't realize it. It is also given in Bhagavatam. But when it is done, it makes a lot of difference. Then in the 24th verse it is mentioned, the devotee conceives of the super soul whose presence surcharges the devotee's body in the form corresponding to his realization. Thus the devotee worships the Lord to his full capacity and becomes fully absorbed in him. By touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras, the devotee should invite the super soul to join the deity's form, and then the devotee should worship me. This is like, you know, somewhat like a, what is actually what happens during the process of prana pratishtha. Everybody of all will be aware of the procedure known as nyasavam, where, you know, very senior devotees, acharyas, they come and touch the different limbs of the Lord. You know, so that structure, the deity form of the Lord, there are three procedures going on there. One is called Tattva Samhara Nyas. They are all Nyas. Nyas means you have to touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras to, I would say, activate that particular limb with the mantra. You are placing it there through the mantra. So, one is Tattva Samhara Nyas, because that deity form is made of a material object, stone or metal or whatever. So whatever material faults will be there in that form, first we remove all those faults by Tattva Samhara Nyas. Then Srishti Nyas, we again create by mantra and touching the different parts. Then what happens is its spiritual form is created, and in that spiritual form then various forms, various parts of the body like nose, hand, legs, you know, the toes, the knuckles, the wrist joint, elbow joint, each and every part is placed. And finally, after all the body parts have been placed in their respective positions, then in a private ceremony the prana pratishtha, actual prana pratishtha happens, wherein the person who is actually doing the prana pratishtha, he invites the super soul seated within his heart to become manifest and reside in this form of the Lord, to please come and be here. And always there is a prayer, there is a detailed prayer which says that please be always here, and please don't leave and go away from here. So after this is a very interesting aspect, which in 25-26 In text 25 and 26 there is a very interesting aspect described, which has a exactly corresponding parallel when we do the yajnas. So the worshipper should first imagine my seat as decorated with the personified deities of religion, knowledge, renunciation and opulence. This is in English, but in dharma, jnana, Vairagya and Aishwarya, and with my 9 spiritual energies. He should think of the Lord's sitting place as an 8-petaled lotus, effulgent on account of the saffron filaments within its whole. Then following the regulations of both the Vedas and the Tantras, he should offer me water for washing the feet, water for washing the mouth, arghya and other items of worship. By this process he achieves both material and enjoyment and liberation. In the purport to this, it is written that according to Srila Sridhar Swami, religion, dharma, jnana, vairagya and aishwarya are the legs of the Lord's sitting platform and occupy the 4 corners, beginning with the southeast. And it's not that adharma, ajnana, avairagya and anaishwarya are the intermediate legs. So when I read this, we do something called as yogapit archana. I'll come to that briefly in a short while. So therefore, I was so amazed that here it is being described about deity worship. Worshipping the deity in a form which is made of stone, metal, earth, sand. But when we do yajna, the procedure is almost similar. It matches step to step. So like here, today we are reading Vidhina Vihite Kunde. In an arena constructed according to scriptural injunctions. So many times, you know, people might ask, why you need this kind of a, you know, when we do installations, we make a kind of an enclosure. That arena has to be sanctified. Actually, also, we in the course of the verses, yeah, in the verse here, it comes in the 28th verse. One should worship the Lord's associates, Nanda, Sunanda, Garuda, Prachanda, Chanda, Mahabala, Bala, and Kumunda, Kumudekshana. Who are these personalities? Except for Garuda, the other eight. Anybody can guess? The doorkeepers. So these doorkeepers, so therefore actually what we are doing in the process of deity worship or what we are doing in the process of yajna, that whole arena which we create, which is fenced off, sort of, if you all have seen any deity installations which you have done, which is fenced off, that place is designated as non-different from the spiritual world. Once we do the yagashala pravesh, during the process of yagashala pravesh, we invite all the personalities, the doorkeepers, the direction. Each direction has a lord. Each direction is ruled over by one particular Veda. So we install and invoke and install each personality in the directions, worship them, offer them bhoga, and when we enter the arena. So this is Vidhina Vihite Kunde. So you have to first, according to scripture, perform it. Once that is done, then only within that, it's almost similar to the altar. It's just like the altar. Only those who are, you know, qualified brahmanas, also with the proper standards of cleanliness and purity, can enter that arena. Just like in the altar. Not anybody can just walk in and enter the altar. And then the devotee should perform a sacrifice, fire sacrifice, utilizing the sacred belt that is mentioned in the translation says utilizing the sacred belt. But the verse it says Mekhala Garta Vedibhi. So actually this Mekhala, they have translated Mekhala in one sense is belt. If you take the literal translation this is belt. But in the yajna terms, Mekhala means, when we see the yajna kunda, it has three steps. Nowadays, for the sake of convenience, we get some metal box or a metal, you know, some metal container in which we do it so that it's easy to carry the fire and keep it away. But even if we use the metal container, it is imperative to have those three steps, because those three steps are actually mekhala of the fire. They are the belt for the fire. So in yajna terminology or yajna jargon, when you say mekhala, those three steps are the mekhala. So even if you are using metal containers, it is imperative that you should have those steps. Why? Because the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice utilizing the sacred belt. There has to be sacrifice. The sacrificial pit and the altar mound. Again, there is a concept of an altar within there also. So what is this altar? So we do something called as yoga pita archana when we do the yajna. And it's a very beautiful meditation. I'll just go through it briefly because it's specifically mentioned here, the altar. So we worship the altar, the yoga pita, while we are doing yajna. So before we come to this yoga pita archana, actually there is a procedure where we invoke the fire. Now this fire is Agni. We invoke Agni. and we worship the Agni, we offer, just like whenever you invite a person to be present for certain procedures, or you invite for a person for some function at our house, this personality will be welcomed, will be worshipped, will be offered all the various upacharas, and then for the Agni, for any errors, or we will be also having some prayaschitta and all those things. And then we begin, after the Agni Purnahuti is completed, we have given the Agni all the things. Now the procedure of invoking and meditating upon the Lord within the heart as a super soul, and then invoking the presence of that Lord within the fire. So first we meditate upon the Lord's, the altar, the yoga pit. So the base of that yoga pit is Adhar Shakti. So first we offer this, all these personalities are invited by offering ghee. So first we'll offer ghee and invite the Adhara Shakti. On that Adhara Shakti is Kurma, Kurma Kalagni. Then after Kurma, then Ananta is there on the Kurma. And after that you have Dharani or the earth. So then we come to this. Now there are the four legs of the Dharma, Jnana, Vairagya, Aishwarya. Exactly similar. What Bhagavatam speaks, what we do. This what I am speaking is now from Padma Samhita. This is the Padma Samhita Charyapada chapter 4, text 1 to 31. Very detailed description was given how to do the installation, how to do Agni Karya. Specifically, it's about Agni Karya. So then, after Dharani, on the earth, you have the Lord's seat. And this seat is supported by four legs: Dharma, Jnana, Vairagya, and Aishwarya. And these four legs, the connecting beams of these four legs are Adharma, Ajnana, Avairagya, and Anaishwarya. And after this, you have on top, now you have made the structure with the four legs and the four. On top is Sadashiva. Okay. And then you have the four, then you have the four corners. Now it's not just a seat on the ground, but also when the Lord feels like it, he also has to have the facility of swinging on it. So there are four, on the four corners there are four support like beams like this, which are connected to above, and these are the four Vedas: Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, and Atharvana Veda. And then along with these beams there are certain chains also, three chains at all the four corners, and all these are made of the three modes of material nature, three chains each in all the four corners. And then on that, now you have the cradle form which is there, like the swing is ready. On that you have the five material elements: Mahi, Toya, Tejo, Maruta, Vyoma. And on that a nice beautiful carpet is laid out, and that carpet is made of, what is that carpet? Jivatma. Astarana Rupaya Jivatmane Swaha, that's what we chant. Astarana means a covering, a nice carpet. And those three chains in all the four corners I mentioned, they were of the three modes of goodness, the three gunas: Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. And this particular Astarana, like you have sometimes people for protection, better protection of carpet or a rug or something, they put a extra cover on it, a cloth cover. Okay. So this Astarana or the Jivatma, he is covered over by the three modes, three coverings of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And then you have in that altar mount there are three steps. And on these three steps are, first is the Agni Mandala, then the Soma Mandala, and then the Surya Mandala. And on top, like we just read in the Bhagavatam, there is an eight-petaled lotus, Avyakta Padma, on which the Lord is seated. So this is our meditation. When we offer this, this is the person especially who is doing the yajna, he has to meditate that this is the way I am preparing by offering Ahuti for each of the mantras. It's total 29 sections of the whole Yoga Pitha. When we offer, we are slowly building up an asan, a very suitable altar for the personality of Godhead to actually be present in that fire. And then we do invoke Vishnu or invoke the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will be chanting this mantra which says, O Lord, seated in the highest realm, out of compassion for me, please be present here in the form of your sound vibration. So if I remember right, this sound vibration, Om, the Lord resides in the sound vibration. This class was given by His Grace Sri Vishwambhara. There it is talked about Om and the different syllables, and the yogi is meditating upon the last, the final reverberations. Okay, so here that sound, in the form of your sound, please be present here in the form of your sound vibrations. And he chants this mantra, and that he has this ladle of ghee. So while he is chanting the mantra, he draws in the air through his nostrils. And at the end of it, after he has chanted the mantra, the worshipper should meditate upon my subtle form. This is in the Bhagavatam, 23rd verse, which is situated within the worshipper's own body, now purified by air and fire as the source of all living entities. The form of the Lord is experienced by self-realized sages in the last part of the vibration of the sacred syllable Om. So, after he chants this mantra and he has inhaled while chanting the mantra, the Hota, who is performing the yajna, he exhales and he offers the contents of that Shruva into the fire while quietly chanting the mantra of the deity that is to be installed. That may be Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or even Gopal mantra. So, when he is doing that, that exhalation process actually is the process by which the Lord, from within his heart as a super soul, he comes out through that and he goes in and is in the fire now. So I was thinking, it is so amazing. And after the Lord comes, then again we have here again in Bhagavatam it is said in the part of deity worship, the one should worship in order the Lord Sudarshan disc, his Panchajanya conch shell, his club, sword, bow, arrows and plow, his mushala weapon, his Kaustubha gem, his flower garland, and the Srivatsa curl of hair on his chest. So therefore, here he says, immediately after the invoking the presence of the Lord within the fire, then we have to show nyasa. That means in the fire also, we should place the different parts, different limbs, with the on the body, Shadanganyas, Vyapakanyas and all, after that we should perform Bhushananyas. Bhushananyas means placing the different ornaments and the different eternal associates of the Lord, like Kirita, Kaustubha, Srivatsa, Vanamala, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, Shri and Garuda mantras, mudras. By mudra we place all these things even in the fire. So here this is mentioned for deities in Bhagavad. It is such a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. Such an amazing parallel that even while doing yajna, when we invoke the presence of the Lord in the fire, after that we have to do that. So After that, as it is mentioned in today's verse, he should perform the Anvadhana ritual according to the prescribed rules. What is the Anvadhana ritual? Anvadhana ritual is continuing to, in order to maintain the fire, we continue to put the wood by offering different ahutis, by chanting various mantras. Then one should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and sanctify them with water from the sprinkling vessel. So one, it is very imperative that one of the procedures before the yagya, one of the preliminary procedures, is establishing the vishesh argya. If you see our Gaudiya Vaishnav methods, it is vishesh argya, or in the Padma Samhita it talks about establishing Vasudeva Punya Vachan. That means you sanctify water. It has to be sanctified water. So whether you perform the procedure of Visheshargya or whether you do Vasudeva Punya Vachan, that a pot of sanctified water has to be like what we do in the backup room, just simple procedure, that is Samanyargya. If we read further, it is called, there is something called as Visheshargya, and we should sanctify with water. So that procedure is there in the beginning stages of the yagya, and then the worshipper should then next meditate upon me within the fire. So I was just thinking, there is so many startling similarities between the process of deity worship and the process of yagya. And when I read through the whole procedure here, it seemed like regular sodasa upchar, like those who are doing deity worship, they would understand this part, where we offer the Lord various upacharas, beginning with asan, swagat, then padyam, argyam, achamaniyam, madhuparka, punarachamaniyam, snaniyam, all these various 16 upacharas until naivedyam, we offer the Lord. So all that was covered yesterday, naivedya, what are the different parts, the different foods that can be offered, and how we should refer to Hari Bhakti Vilas, where Sanatana Goswami has described in detail what can be offered, what cannot be offered, and all these things. And then Krishna is describing the process of yagya. So if we see, 16 upacharas are over, but now he is talking about yagya. So I was just wondering, actually there are many things that can also be offered. There are many other upcharas that can also be offered. Like if we go to traditional temples, yagya is part, like Udupi, Tirupati, you go to many of these places, yagya is part of the deity worship. When the deity worship is going on inside, the deity is being worshipped, at the same time there is a person who is performing yagya also. It's part of the thing. Not only that, you can offer sangeetam or singing. If you, like it was there in one of the verses, you can go on to the sky's the limit what you can offer. You can offer more and more upacharas. Sangeeta, I have seen this actually happening in Tirupati. In the evening, when the Lord Malayappa Swami, he comes out of the temple, and there is one procedure, there is one service which is known as Sahasra Deepa Alankarana Seva. There is a huge swing, and the Lord sits on that swing, and around the swing there are 1000 lamps which are lit. So that is one offering, 1000 lamps and the swing. The Lord gets to swing on the swing. And during that time, when the Lord is sitting in his swing and enjoying the breezes, at that time then the priest will sing, chant certain mantra, and they say sangeetam avadaraya. So there will be few musicians, veena, violin, mridanga, and all these things, and they will play some musical piece. Just the Lord wants to enjoy. Lord is enjoying. And then, after they play a certain musical piece, after that then, Gita Mavadaraya, somebody will come and sing some classical songs. And then, Veda Mavadaraya, so there will be pandits from different Vedas, who are pandits in Rig Veda. Okay, they will chant certain mantras from Rig Veda, for the pleasure of the Lord. Then, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, so many things you can keep on offering. It's endless. Similarly, procedure of yagya is also a part of deity worship. Like we see, not only in traditional temples, traditional ancient temples of India, even in ISKCON Mayapur, they have a Nitya Homa. in the it's happening a little distance away, but you can consider all of that as one Mayapur campus. So there is Nitya Homa actually happening every day in the Mayapur Gurukul. There is Nitya Homa happening in ISKCON Nigdi. As far as possible, it is, it's not, you know, we have to, as much as, like, yatha shakti, yatha mati, that is one of the principles. As much as you can possibly do, and whatever you are inspired to do. So, yajna is definitely a part, we have seen. So then, I mean, it's not only for temples, even for at homes. I know people, maybe they may not be Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but they have deities at home and they also perform yajna every day for the pleasure of the Lord. So this is a part of the standard part of the deity worship. So this Vedic Sanatan Dharma is so flexible that yajna is a part of the process whereby the Lord, whereby we can worship the Lord as He is manifest in fire, like in the 18th chapter it is said, Tyajyam doshavaditeke karma prahur manishina yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam iti chapare. So therefore, if we see in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the various options, you know. There is, you have, okay, you can do this. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifest, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is very difficult. So then, Krishna says, just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence on me. Thus you will always live in me without a doubt. If you cannot fix your mind upon me, then follow regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then try to work for me. So Krishna keeps on giving options. You can do this, you do this. You can do this, you do this, you do this. So here is yajna. People feel yajna means, oh, so much money involved, so much time involved, so much effort involved. So Krishna has given in Bhagavad Gita also, you can't do this, okay, no problem. In 4th chapter, Krishna gives a series of yajnas. He says, Shrotradin Indriyananya Samyam Agnishu Juhvati Shabdadin Vishayananya Indriyagnishu Juhvati. So here he is directly talking about some, that is the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. So there, Krishna describes about various kinds of yajnas which can be performed. One is called Dravyamaya Yajna. Dravyamaya Yajna means somebody is rich and he wants, they may be opening Dharmashala. They are spending their money to do good to others. And then Tapomaya Yajna. There are others for who higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets, they voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities such as Chaturmas. Under Chaturmas, wow, the candidate does not shave for 4 months. This Prabhupada is writing in the purport. And he does not eat certain foods, does not eat twice in a day or does not leave home. Such sacrifice of the comforts of life is called Tapomaya Yajna. So it's not necessary that we have to do yajna with fire only. So many options Krishna is giving. Then there are still others who engage themselves in different kinds of mystic yogas like Patanjali system or Hatha Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. All these practices are called Yoga Yajna. And then there are those who engage themselves in the study of various Vedic literatures, especially the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutras or the Sankhya philosophy. All these are called Swadhyaya Yajna. So, enough to say, there are so many options that are available. So, is it that when deity worship is going on behind closed doors in ISKCON temples, the requirement of yajna is only possible in certain centers, or is it that it is happening everywhere? It is happening everywhere. Why? Because again Krishna has given an option. In the 10th chapter, very classic statement, he says, yajna naam japa yajyosmi. I am the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So when the deity worship is going on behind closed doors, there is a huge japa yagya going on in the temple hall, in every ISKCON center of the world. Everybody is chanting Hare Krishna very intensely, and that is the time when people are really trying to focus all their energies upon the sound vibration of the Lord, upon the personality of the Lord in the form of His sound vibration. So therefore, we have to understand that Prabhupada writes a very classic purport, and I will end with this. Classic few lines I would like to read from the purport to the from fourth chapter. From the foregoing explanation of different types of sacrifice, we just mentioned about tapo yagya, yoga yagya, swadhyaya yagya, dravya yagya, dravyamaya yagya, it is found that the common aim of all sacrifices, of all yagya, the common aim is to control the senses. Sense gratification is the root cause of material existence. Therefore, unless and until one is situated on a platform apart from sense gratification, there is no chance of being elevated to the eternal platform of full knowledge, full bliss, and full life. And what a simple process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us for this. We don't have to do dravyamaya yagya, tapomaya yagya, yoga yagya, swadhyaya yagya, of course, but we have to read not very difficult books and literatures like Upanishads, and it's very nice. Srimad Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's like sweet, sweeter, sweetest. We begin with Bhagavad Gita, which is the words of the Lord, and then Bhagavatam, which is the pastimes of the Lord, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita is like the sweetest of all. So Swadhyaya Yagya, of course, to a certain extent we do, but that is actually, in that Swadhyaya Yagya, there is also a lot of pleasure involved. But for us to do Yagya for our purification, or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it, for the cleansing of the heart, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, such a wonderful process Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So many times, whenever I go for any deity installations or performing certain yagyas, devotees, Hare, aap to bulate aur Bhagwan aate hai. Devotees come and tell me. But it's something rare. Every one of us can call out to the Lord, and the Lord will come. Not just when you do yagya with fire, but when we do the Harinam yagya. Every one of us can call out to the Lord, and the Lord, it is Lord's guarantee that He will dance on our tongue. He will be personally present. It's just a question of our faith and our belief, whether we really want to, we really believe that this is possible. Otherwise, when people tell me, this is always the thought behind, when I just smile at it, but then I know it's possible for every one of us. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has thrown open the gates of love of Godhead, this is that. He has given that procedure, so simple procedure, to each one of us. Each one of us can perform that. Just chant Hare Krishna with strong conviction and faith, and Krishna will be present. So I would like to end here. If anybody has any comments, any questions, can. Yes. Guru Gauram.
Just that you mentioned about that agyan and that thing. Can you just that altar is there and the side beams are
agyana.
So you said you were going to explain. Means how it can be that the altar is made up of
everything comes from the Lord, na? Knowledge comes from the Lord and ignorance also comes from the Lord. So the altar, when you build it up, everything is there, is part of the whole thing. If you have sunlight coming from the sun, shadow is also because of that only. any comments, Bhavaneshwar Prabhu? No, I really value your opinion. Shyam Charan Prabhu, any comments? I will try.
Actually, what Guru Gauram Prabhu had asked, the same question was there in my mind also.
Yeah.
And you answered very nicely. But one more thing, if you can add, what is the significance of those Anashwarya, Adharma, etc.? Can you just explain that?
How do you mean by significance? I don't know. I couldn't understand. See, first of all, as I said, they are actually part of the Yoga Pitha. Now, here I have not read anything about it, but how I understand it, I'll just explain my understanding of it. I may be wrong also. First of all, they are the four legs are there: Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya, Vairagya, and then they are connected by the beams, Adharma. And on top of it, then again there is a lot of build-up is there, and the cradle is there, the Avyakta Padma is very much on the top, where the Lord actually sits. So how I understand is, you need Dharma, Jnana, Vairagya and Aishwarya to approach the Lord, but at the same time, you have to also go through this there will be a period of time when we are approaching the Lord. There will be a period of time where you will be afflicted with adharma, avairagya, anaishwarya and agyan. And after you are afflicted with that, then you, after you have by the with the help of jnana, vairagya, aishwarya and dharma, after you have overcome that, then only we can go ahead and meditate upon the Lord who is actually sitting on the Avyakta Padma. That's how I understand. That's why they are present there. Their significance is that there will be a time when the living entity will be afflicted by these four seemingly negative qualities also. And only after he has overcome those by the positive qualities, then he can go ahead. I may be wrong. I understand it this way. I can ask and get back to you why they are there. Good question. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.